Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we begin this study this morning, when we come into your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to be receptive so that we can see and receive the revelation of this your word, Father, and stand in boldness to declare the truth of your word, Father, and not the things of mankind. And Father, be with us now through this study, and let us gain in knowledge, wisdom, and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're in the third chapter of 1 John. And this third chapter, it's 24 verses long. But we're going to get into it because there's an awful lot in here for you and I that most do not want to hear, let alone to accept and to live, and mainly to live. But without it and without accepting what it says, there is no way they'll ever make heaven their home. All right. Verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. This word bestowed is in the perfect tense, suggesting the enduring effect of the love of God, and has given believers, our children of God, by virtue of being born of Him. of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus stresses a connection between how the world related to God and how it would turn related to Christ, true followers. You know, after God, the phrase, and we are, should be added according to many ancient manuscripts. There's a whole lot written about this. Now, here's verse 2. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, at Jesus' coming, we shall be somehow transformed into his likeness. This process has already begun in the believer's life. You see, when we become that believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are being transformed into his likeness at that time, because we are being given the authority and the use of his name to use in order to do the work that we are called upon to do. And we are to walk in pureness, in purity of life, a life without sin. So you see, inwardly, we are being transformed into his likeness. Now, when he comes and he calls us out of this life, when we go to meet him, this body is changing. The inside has already changed. That spirit and all has already changed. But now the body will put on that heavenly body as his. And that's why we'll be able to go and meet him in the air. Now, 3, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. At Christ's coming, his followers will be transformed, but in the meantime, they need to be diligent in growth in holiness. He is pure, and it is the pure in heart who shall see God. You see, there is a lot here that man is not wanting to accept today. But if you want to make heaven your home, listen to this, because without it, you will not make heaven your home. Now, 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. John turns from stress on Christ and Christianity and purity to the need for believers to abstain from sin. And this verse 4 means everyone who sins is indulging in unlawful behavior. Sin is, in fact, lawlessness. And we all know that. Now, 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He was manifested. Christ came to take away our sins. This is another reason why Christians should not practice sin. Now, we have found here that he had come to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Now listen to this sixth verse. Whosoever abideth in him, and if you're a child of God, then you abide in the Lord Jesus. And whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Listen to that. You've not seen him or known him. To abide in Christ is to be dead to sin. The one who habitually lives in sin has never been transformed by Christ's life-changing power and purity. When you sin, you've never seen him, and you don't know him. And that's according to his word, not mine, his. 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. You see, there could well be a temptation to water down God's word at this point. John resists such a move. Sin is of the devil. Christ came to destroy the devil's deeds, and to do the devil's deeds is to declare allegiance to him, not to Christ. Thus sin and being a Christian are mutually exclusive. Because, you see, that just will not work. In verse 8, he goes on telling us here, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You see, this is why a lot of our churches do not preach from this third chapter. Because they're telling you that you can't live your life without sin. That we all sin. No, we all have sinned. But once you come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are baptized into his death, his burial and his resurrection, and you begin studying his word, and you gain the knowledge to where you receive the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, that sin stopped. There can be no more of it. Now, he gets even stronger here. Whosoever is born of God. You say you're reborn? You're born of God? Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You can't want it any stronger than that. And you see, there again, even in the footnotes of the Bible, you have those that makes some of the footnotes that will not accept God's word. The footnote here in my study Bible, John is not teaching sinless perfection. He ain't. He speaks here of habitual practice of known sinful acts. The true believer's actions will conform to the character of his true father, either God or Satan. The person born of God will reflect this in his behavior. But you see, that does mean sinless perfection. Now, even after we become born again children of God. There are things that we will do that we didn't know was wrong. We hadn't got to that part of understanding, even in our studies of God's Word. We hadn't got to that. And we didn't know what we were doing was wrong. God lets us know that's wrong. He doesn't count that as sin. It's error and mistakes, but it's not counted to you and I as sin. Because we didn't know it. But once he tells us, then we don't do that anymore. So we are still sinless in our life. You see, we gain the understanding by the study of God's Word. Now, if you don't get into God's Word, you're not going to make heaven your home. That is for sure. Because too many things you're going to be living against because you don't have the understanding, nor do you want to go along with it. Now, 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doth not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For John, a mere profession of faith in Christ, was insufficient, if not accomplished complete by the outward marks of divine heritage. Further, he links love for other Christians closely with righteous living. And we know that because we have been studying that all through the New Testament. We are to love one another. We're to love all mankind, but especially those that are our brothers in Christ. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. You see, he's telling us there in the letter. Well, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. You see, of that wicked one refers to a child of the devil. Cain killed Abel because they're conflicting allegiance. Cain's was to Satan and Abel's was to God. We're plain to see by their respective actions. John seems to be saying if even wicked Cain could see that a man's character is revealed ultimately, not in what he says he believes, but in what he does. Should not Christians be able to see this as well? Most don't want to see. That's the whole thing. Nor do they want to accept it. That's why you don't see this taught in a lot of our churches. Now, 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Jesus warned his followers that they would be despised. So we don't need to marvel about it or wonder about it. We've been told. that those of the world don't like us. They don't want anything really to do with us. Now, 14. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brother. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Death and life are symbolized unbelief and saving faith, respectively. A murderer, one whose heart is full of hate or even destructive apathy, can of course be forgiven of such sin, but one who is truly forgiven will no longer abide in that murderous nature. You see, if he is forgiven, if he goes and repents and he's forgiven, then everything in his life will begin to change to where he is no longer the same person. You become new. Now, that's why he tells us to walk in newness of life. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. But you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brother. Now, you see, here in 16, he's talking about us laying down our lives for the brethren. 17, but whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, the standard for our love is God's love in Christ, who died for us. Love that observes need and does not act to minister to it is no love at all. When you see those vows of compassion in modern English would be heart, proceeding from our inward core of awareness and action. You know, these are things that a child of God must live and walk in. 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You and I, we are not to live just by talk. We have to live by speech and by doing, acting on things that come up and come about, and not just by to tell someone that's in need, well, I'll pray for you, God bless you, you go and get things done. And you do nothing to help them at all, you've done no good. And you have not shown the right kind of love. You've not shown that love of Almighty God. You may not be able to take care of all of his need, but you do what you can. Whether it is in knowing where he can get more help, you help what you can, and then if you know of where he can gain more help and all, you send him there. But you do everything you can 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. You know, Cain was of that wicked one, and believers are of the truth, and hereby John seems to be saying that assurance of salvation comes in part as one reaches out active caring for others. And this is true. That's what we are about here on this earth, is to be of help to others. 20. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You know, in light of John's strict teaching above, he may have felt that some readers might begin to despair. He assures them that although our feeble attempts to honor God may leave us feeling defeated inside, God is greater than our self-awareness and can justify us even when we would condemn ourselves. He sees not only our actions, but at times are misguided, but also the motives and intentions behind them. You see, this is true. You may not be able to do everything that one needs, but you do what you can. And when you do that, you see that motive comes from God. He has let you do everything you could do. Now, 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. You know, if your heart condemns us not, we have confidence toward God if our lives are in line with the standard of Christian living set forth above. Are you in line with what we have been studying this night, or this morning, rather? Are you in line with that? John is not saying that whether a person is right or wrong is simply a matter of how he subjectively feels about himself. That is why John has given so many indicators and commands for Christians to take note of and assess themselves by. And one of the great results of a life lived in purity before God is a life where there is effective prayer. Right living is an important part of successful praying. You see, you've got to live it. You can't just speak it. You've got to live it. 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Oh, praise God. That we can do the things that are pleasing in the sight of Almighty God. 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. John has already set forth the importance of true faith in Christ and true love for others. Now he combines the two. You see, it takes these combinations in our lives. And once we live that kind of life, then our prayers are not made in vain. They are effective. Because living that kind of life, God will always answer our prayers. Now, 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, you know, there in 23, John has already set forth the importance of true faith in Christ and true love for others. And as we said, he combines the two. Here in our last verse, 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Dwelleth in him. You see, Christ's words about abiding in John, the Gospel of John 15, he in him refers to Christ in the believer, when the Spirit gives internal assurance to collaborate the external testimony of true faith, active love, and consistent obedience is what it takes. And then we abide in Jesus, and Jesus abides in us. He makes his abode in us. And then everything we do passes through him. It must be holy. It must be pure. It must be honest. You see, so many things that are being taught today are not the truth of God's word. It is being contrary to his word. I pray that you have received some good things and the goodness from this chapter this morning. And I pray that you'll keep meditating about this through the day until you get it stored, recorded in your heart to where it will always be there when needed as you travel through this life. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we close your word. We thank you for this word, Father. Thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, we pray for Israel, Jerusalem, for them to have peace. But Father, we pray that they come out from the Mosaic law and that they all will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that Jesus will be known as the head of the land of Israel. This land of ours, Father, that is filled with so much evil, turned its back and walked away, taking Jesus out of every place he was in. Father, help us to get those that are evil out of our government offices that have brought this evil upon this land and our people, and replace them with those that love you, love the Lord, love the church, love your people, and love this country, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance, and our churches, Father, that are teaching contrary to thy word, that they will repent, Father, and get into the truth of thy word and begin teaching it as they should. And Father, be with us all through this day. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, Tom, Jacob, Bobby and Millie, James Taylor, Sue Branson, Deborah, my wife, all of those in the nursing home there in Brandenburg, Father, we pray that you touch each and every one of them. Bring about their needs, Father, whatever their need be. Myself, Father, be strong, Father. Strong in your word. Strong, Father, in faith. And strong in teaching. And strong in my love of mankind. Father, keep us all through this day as we separate now. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And bring us back together this evening at 6 p.m. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. I pray you will have a great, great day. Bye-bye now.